Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, February 8th, 2019. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 7 of Bill's story, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are AJ on the 12 steps, Betsy H. on the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Julie E.B., Jordan L., and Jackie H. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, February 7th, 10 a.m. meeting is 12,520-12520. And for this morning's Friday 7 a.m. meeting on February 8th, the reference number is 12,522 or 12522. And our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask AJN to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is AJN, compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, AJN. And I will now ask Betsy H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, I'm Betsy H. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Betsy H., and I'm very sorry for the interruption. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the Directions for Recovery book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers, there is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 7 of Bill's story, the second full paragraph, and I'm going to ask Julie E.B. to get us started.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Here's from Bill's story. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, although it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly and even made a little money. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. Julie, grateful to those doing service on this meeting and to so many who have loved me into this program and have given me the gift of knowledge about my disease and about how self-knowledge fails. As I said before, I used to treat loneliness and isolation with loneliness and isolation, and self-knowledge is the same. Self-knowledge is a continual loop in my brain. It's like the gerbils on the gerbil wheel going round and round and round and round. It just goes right into my disease thinking. And so it was amazing for me, as it was for Bill, to learn that this was a disease, that my will was weakened in this area, and this is one aspect of my disease, that I wasn't a bad person, that I didn't need to hide my head under the desk or in the cookies anymore. Because my will is weakened when it comes to combating my alcoholic foods, ingredients, and behaviors. But boy, was my will strong in other respects. I tried success. I tried spending. I tried compulsively controlling other people. I tried being perfect at work. All these things I tried. And then as the buildup of human emotions would occur, as my will would fail me, as the world would not go according to my script, then once again I was left with nothing to look to other than food to blot out as best I could my awakeness to my intolerable situation. But then I found a solution, and it wasn't understanding myself, because as someone said on the first meeting, in understanding myself, it gets me further into self-reliance, self-centeredness, self-seeking, self-deception. Those all go with self. Now I had a program where I was not alone. I had a program where the people who loved me here showed me about a higher power who cared for me. Let's face it, when we turn our will and our life over the care of a higher power, the provision of everything that is necessary for my health, welfare, and maintenance of my condition, self-knowledge did not get me that. I was not turning my will in my life over to anything other than trying harder. And so I can do this in the food, and I can also do this by missing the seventh step, that God's the one that's going to remove my defects of character. I could do a fifth step and launch into a self-improvement program and get carried away with self-knowledge. Yes, I've seen large chunks of myself, but it's only by daily being forgiven and released by God and trying new thoughts, new actions, looking for the guidance of my higher power, that my life is better today, one day at a time. It's not perfect. I'm still human. But I'm glad all of us are here, for when my self-knowledge fails me, I reach out to you and to my higher power who cares for me. Let's face it, the food never did. And that's what I've got. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, I'd like to take names one at a time, please.
Jackie H.
Okay, Jackie H.
Cindy G.
Cindy B, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Did
Beatrice
I hear
O.
Beatrice O.
Chara L.
Patty.
Chara L.
Patty D.
Patty D.
Penny O.
Penny, was that Penny C?
Yes.
Okay, great. And I heard one more after Penny.
Jordan O.
Robin P.
Okay, Jordan L., and I'll add you, Robin P., as well. We'll stop there. Okay, so we have Jackie H., Cindy B., Beatrice O., Chara L., Patty D., Penny C., Jordan L., and Robin P. Jackie H., please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Gratefully recovered today. This is just a cool paragraph, honestly. I love it. I can see myself in it too. He was so relieved that he had learned what his alcoholic problem was, that his will was really weakened when it came to alcohol, and so he was, I can hear it here. My incredible behavior in the face of the desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hopes. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. Well, he still hadn't realized that his problem was not alcohol. His problem was his own powerlessness. And here, just like us, just like me, he got an idea, and this idea was in his mind, and it was self-knowledge. And so now he was going to go out, and he was going to conquer the world. And I remember doing that with many, many things, and not realizing that my problem wasn't the food, wasn't the alcohol, wasn't people, wasn't anything. I thought those were all my problems, but my problem was my powerlessness, and my problem was my self-will. And because, see, I'm a human being, I actually am a spiritual being in this little body of flesh and bone. And because I am this humanness in me, and I have this spiritual malady, that says that I know best. I know what's best for me. I know what's best for you. And I certainly don't allow God in. But, and that is all self-knowledge. And so when I show up like that, I just totally edge God out of everything. And life is absolutely unmanageable. And so these 12 steps, this simple program, this design of living, gives me some steps to go past that self-will. And I still get in that today. Many times during the day, sometimes. I don't have issues with food anymore. That went away when I put down my alcoholic foods. So I don't focus on that anymore. But what I do get to do is every moment invite God in, because if I don't, I am going to pick up that self-will that I want so badly not to have. And I will go off on my own, and I'll show up that way in every sense of the being that I am. And so today I'm grateful, so grateful that I have finally realized that I'm not God. I'm not my God. I'm not your God. And I don't have to show up like that anymore. I get to be safe and protected in the mind of God, and then I get to show up as a child of God, extending that love to you, to my loved ones, and wow, I am so appreciative of this program, of you people that have shown me this way, and I think I'll pass with that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. And a gentle reminder, let's try to keep our shares to 3 minutes. Cindy B., please go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And, this paragraph, I was thinking about it as it was being read and thinking, I remember feeling like I had no willpower when it came to food. I mean, I kept hearing that my whole life from people. And, finding out that, yes, that's true, that my willpower when it came to food was amazingly weakened, amazingly, almost non-existent. I kept trying to exert it. I kept trying to find ways to will myself out of the food. I remember, after leaving the hospital and recovering from a hole in my stomach as a complication of this disease, and asking the doctor, what do I need to do different? And he just looked at me and said, nothing. And I remember being so disappointed that he wasn't giving me the magic answer, that I still didn't have the knowledge I needed. And, and I left scared and still worried about getting back in the food. And I did. I got back in the food one more time, lots more times. And I finally came here and, I had known on some level that there was something more than just a willpower issue. And, finding out that no amount of knowledge was going to help me, that, I didn't understand the piece about the allergy. And once I did, I'm like, okay, that's a missing piece. And once I put the food down, the mental obsession was still there. It was working on me over time. And, no amount of willpower was working. And no amount of learning, as much as I was learning in the program, was working. And it wasn't until I really surrendered and said, it's got to be help from outside myself. It's got to be a higher power that's going to help me with this. And just trusting that and taking that leap of faith, did I start to feel relief? Because I rebelled against the whole idea of God and higher power. But once I did surrender, I started to feel the relief. And I see that with the people that I work with as well. But for me now, self-knowledge, I know, is not the answer, but knowledge of my higher power and knowledge of his power and the wisdom that he gives me and the work that he does with me in removing my character defects and putting people, places, and things in my path that are great teachers for me and giving me the opportunity to work with others. That's how I gain more and more knowledge of my higher power. And that is what is helping me to remain abstinent and to remain in recovery. And I'm so grateful for that understanding and that surrender and the willingness. And the one thing I do know now is no matter what, I will always work to keep my abstinence and keep my recovery, because as the Big Book tells us, you know, even my bad days now are so much better than my good days were in the past. And I just wish that for everybody, that they can find this. And I think being able to really surrender and admit our powerlessness is so key to this. And I'm reminded of that every day. And I just thank those of you that have been my teachers and have been my partner and have loved me through recovery and into recovery. And I look forward to hearing what others have to share. And with that, Kathy, I'll pass, and thanks for your service.
Thank you, Cindy B. Beatrice O., please share with us.
Hello, this is Beatrice O. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
So the part that really hits me is where he says, for 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. And this self-knowledge. So when I got out of treatment in 1992, I stayed abstinent for about 3 years, and the goose hung high. I thought I knew it all. And then when my food started to get, when I started to overeat a little, I remembered, my ego told me, I used to have a friend that in program, he used to say, I broke my abstinence, but I haven't eaten flour or sugar. And I used to think, man, if I broke my abstinence, I mean, I'm all in. Why should I? Of course, I'm going to eat flour and sugar. And then I would hear my ego, I would say, I don't know if I don't, I would hear people say, I don't know if I have another recovery in me. And I would think to myself, my ego would tell me, I'll always have another recovery in me. And I just feel that, or believe, for me to think that I can eat just a little bit more, that's all ego. And I have to put God first. You know, bargaining with food is self-will. And that self-knowledge is really false hope. It's self-reliance, and it will only get me so far. That's like going to a male gynecologist. You know, I would never go to a male gynecologist because, you know, his education can only go so far. And that's why we recover in this program, because it takes one to know one. And I guess I just want to finish up with saying that the only thing that keeps me sober is my relationship with God. And everything, every time I think I can bargain with this disease, I'm never going to win. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your share, Beatrice. So, Shara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for being of service today and keeping this meeting going. I do love this passage because there's so many, that's that high I used to get from, like, if I could keep to a meal plan for a certain amount of days, I would say, that's it. My problem solved. I'm amazing. I'm starting to lose weight. I feel great. You know, and it was all my own self-will. And an inedible crash down. Right, I would oh gosh, those highs of just thinking that I had the control, I had the knowledge, I knew what to eat, and this is how it was going to be forever. The problem is, I was running on my own well, which only lasts so long. And it got, the further I got in, the deeper I got into my disease, the less and less that my self-will could run. I started running out of gas because there was nothing to power me. And it wasn't until I worked these steps vigorously, with vigorous honesty and vision, and I cut out my alcoholic foods, that I actually could tap into a power that was limitless. And I could tap into my higher power. I could, food became, ceased to become a problem for me. I didn't even think about it. And it's contingent on my spiritual, you know, working my spiritual program, because my problem wasn't ever the food. As I've heard many times, my solution was the food to everything.
You're a big fat bitch, the biggest bitch in the whole wide world, the biggest bitch, you're a stupid bitch!
And it was really hard. And so, but when I'm practicing now to keep in spiritual, fit spiritual condition, and for me, because I was so used to being on my own will, it's hard for me sometimes to remember to turn my will over to my higher power. And so I have to practice with small things. I practice with, oh, what should I have for breakfast? And I think of a couple things, and what sounds good, I go with that. When I'm in a day, you know, I just try to start with those small moments, because I need to practice, and the more and more
hey,
I practice, the easier it is
to get to my
higher power.
Really help. No, that doesn't help.
Yeah,
that doesn't help.
Yeah, eat less and exercise more.
It's so simple, people.
Hello, anybody there?
What was the advice again? Eat more and exercise the same amount?
No, it was to eat less and exercise more.
Okay, let's move on then to Patty D. Patty, are you there on the line?
Hi, this is Patty D, gratefully recovered outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Just trying to get my thoughts together after that terrible interruption. I think all of us have experienced this idea of self-knowledge, and I did too. I thought I knew what my problem was, and I just needed to go through diets. And deal with that, exercise, go through diets. And I've learned through the program and through working with the wonderful sponsor that really understanding myself meant that I was powerless, that I had this disease. And it was only through God's help that I could understand the true nature of my problem and get into recovery and work towards a healthy weight. And so the whole self-knowledge is truly, really, that I think I'm in control. And that was a delusion. So that's what I've gotten out of this paragraph. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty D. I want to see if Karen L. wanted to come back and share, because she lost a good portion of her time. Are you there, Karen? Do you want to share again? Okay. We'll move on then to Penny C. Penny, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy, and thank you so much. Good morning, everybody on the line. I'm Penny C., recovered by the grace of God. only by the grace of God. I like to think, to know, I do know. I identify with this paragraph by saying that, like so many others I've heard on this line, this is an alumni of us who had at one time been employed by National Weight Loss. You know, they, what do they call it? The pay and weigh clubs. And boy, did I think I had made it then. I had arrived. My goose hung high for, oh, probably 3 years while I was in there and working for that company. And as you probably heard before, that we had to get weighed, had to go to a meeting, get weighed every month. And so I figured it out. My self-knowledge, I had it all figured out, that all everything else I had tried, even starvation diets, I would lose weight, but it always came back and with more. But now I had it made, because my crazy thinking, my twisted mind figured out that what I could do is fast, pretty much starve for 2 weeks, get weighed in, and then eat whatever I wanted for 2 weeks. And that cycle went on for about 3 years. How unhealthy. But you know what? I managed to I thought, control my weight. But it really did a job on my health. I developed some, you know, blood dysgrasias, and the doctors were going to wanted to do a bone marrow test, and so it was really not the answer. And then I found God led me to OA, and again, like a lot of others, I've heard, what I heard at that meeting was that I had a disease. That was the knowledge I needed. I needed to know I had a disease, and that did it. After 47 years, and even having, you know, as a nurse, worked with people with all kinds of diseases, never occurred to me that this was my problem. I was so relieved going home from that meeting, and you know, I never left. I never left, and it's been well over 3 decades now. And that's the knowledge I needed. The knowledge I needed at subsequent meetings was that the only way that I could stay stopped and eat healthily would be a higher power. Step two, to find a power higher than myself that could restore me to sanity. Because wasn't that insane? Starve 2 weeks, binge 2 weeks, starve 2 weeks, and think that I had made it. Oh, my gosh. So thank you so much. You know, thank God for OA. And hang in there, anybody who's new. It's just an amazing, amazing journey you've got ahead of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Penny C. Jordan L., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. and I got to tell you, this paragraph is, it did a lot for me. I know we've been talking a lot about how self-knowledge is not the answer. The way that Bill thinks here, and that is true. Self-knowledge was not my answer by any means, but my incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Self-knowledge was important nonetheless. It may not be the answer, but it is part of the problem. It does help me fully understand what it is that I'm dealing with here, fully understand my problem. Because if I don't fully understand my problem, I'm not going to seek the solution because of this gigantic ego I have. I am not going to seek the solution the way that I need to, with the sort of earnestness that I'm going to need to propel me through this process. because that's what I have found. What I have found is that understanding my problem, understanding the concepts that the Big Book talks about in the doctor's opinion and Bill's story, that is what fully understanding those for the first time in my life, not trying to skirt around them or anything like that, was what propelled me into those next chapters where it starts to describe my solution, and there is a solution, and more about alcoholism and the agnostics. Joe and Charlie talked about that. They talked about fully understanding the problem, the solution, and then approaching the program, this program of action that I need in order to recover, right? But like I said, self-knowledge is not my answer. It is important. It was very important for me to understand that I was sick, that I was not just this weakling who couldn't handle food the way that other people could handle it, because I had seen others my entire life eating the same things with impunity. And I'm sitting there going like, what the hell, dude? Why can't I handle it the way that they handle it? Why can't I eat just one cookie the way that my skinny little sister does, you know? So it was very important for me to understand that I have a disease. I have an abnormal reaction. She does not need to fight the cookie the way that I need, the way that I have to fight the cookie. It's easy for her. It doesn't take large amounts of will in order for her to not have a second or a third or another dozen or another two dozen or whatever it is, you know? So it was very important to this process for me to understand that fully. Thanks for letting me share, Kathy. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Robin P., please share with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your service. This is Robin P. in Vero Beach, Florida, and I'm very grateful to be on the phone line today. And thank you so much for handling the disruptor so well. You know, I've been on some meetings where it's not handled, you know, stopped so quickly, and I'm so grateful to you guys. And it just sounds like the disease to me, and I'm so grateful that I get to live in recovery and that I'm not living in the disease today. And that's just another disease voice, and I just focus on my recovery. So thank you. And there's a message in everything, and that's what I take from that. In terms of, you know, the self-knowledge, you know, self-knowledge avails me nothing, you know, and it, you know, the next paragraph, not to skip ahead, but, you know, the self-knowledge, did it make it, you know, he drank again. And I think it's helpful to have the self-knowledge, but faith without works is dead. And, you know, and I get to really rely on my higher power in every area of my life. I am so powerless. It's so clear. And when I pretend, you know, that I am powerful over something, doesn't work for me. I just get to keep surrendering in every area of my life. And that's started with the food and continues with everything for me. And I'm eternally grateful to be abstinent and recovered. I mean, oh my gosh, I cannot imagine going through the things I'm going through if I wasn't abstinent. Oh my gosh, I wouldn't get through them, because eating just gives it another, you know, I always use the food to solve the pain or solve the issue or whatever it was. And it just gave me two problems instead of one, and postponed working through what I needed to be willing to work through. And that's why the abstinence for me is the first step among the 12 steps. And I'm so grateful to know that there is a solution, and that it's God and the willingness to work the steps and to be of service today. And God bless all you guys. I'm so grateful for you. You know, you're my family, and I don't know what I would do without this meeting. So God bless you. I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin P. We have time for three more shares.
Nancy L.
Nancy.
Reggie
F.
O.
Reggie O.
Mag C.
Wendy M.
Wendy I'm sorry, M. Was that Mag?
Yes, Mag C.
Mag C. Okay. If we have time after that, after Mag, I'll ask for another name. Thank you. Nancy L., please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks so much for your service and welcome newcomers. Nancy L. in Arizona. Wow, the goose hung high. That sure just hit me between the eyes because I finally, finally got my weight off at one of the paying ways after 30 years of paying them. I finally got it off. And the goose hung high. I was getting all kinds of compliments. I was enjoying nice looking clothes. It was just, I made it, right? I made it. And, there were times, maybe it lasted a couple years. And during those years, I truly believed this. And now I don't at all. And this is what I believe. If I could just go up and zap people that are really overweight, like I was, and they were thin, they'd never be fat again. Just like me, they'd never be fat again because they're going to love their life. They're finally going to love it. And then 2 years later, when the buttons on my blouse started to get really tight and I could feel the pants were not fitting quite as well, and I was scared out of my mind, and eventually the pounds started coming back on, I thought, that wasn't true at all. It wasn't true at all. I was an addict through and through, and I thank God for my recovery for these next 24 hours. I'm so grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy L. Reggie O., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Reggie O. Thanks for your service so much, Kathy. And boy, this paragraph. And the goose hung high. You know, the goose hung high. Bill was, he was not in his allergy, right? There was no craving. He was clear. And not only was he clear without the craving because he didn't have the drug in his system, but now he knew, so he thought he understood why he always drank before. And so he would never drink again. But what he didn't have the knowledge of was the mental obsession that who knows when is going to fall upon you, which, and it did. But that goose hung high, boy, I can just so relate to that. There is such a high. And I went into, it reminds me of the time when I went into a graduate school some years ago, and it was a gift of this program. I went into it in a recovered state, and I was away from my, I was away from my people and my meetings, et cetera. But that was okay because I was learning all about psychology and family systems and motivations and how the mind works. And I absolutely came over that period of time to know that with everything that I had learned, I would not, I was good. I wouldn't have to go out and do this again. But many years later, I can tell you that that was absolutely not the case. And the goose did hang high for quite a period of time. But once it dropped, once it dropped and the disease took over again, it was a really, really, really long time before I could come back and even come to an understanding of what was, what was missing, because I had worked the steps more than once. However, there were some parts of it that I've learned here in Vision that I didn't really understand, And the first one is how the first step works with the allergy and the mental obsession, and then that I've got to do this every day. This always has to be the focus of my life, and that's how I got into that graduate program, and that's how I'm going to get into every day of my life. I can't take a vacation. So, yeah, and it is only, Bill's still hanging high here. It's only page 7. There are a lot more pages in Bill's story. So I'm really grateful. I think I grow more grateful every day for, the gift of being here, and just the gift of being here and what I get to learn and do and know and be in this community and with these steps. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. Mag C., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Mag C. in Colorado. Grateful
for today, being a recovered compulsive overeater. I took self-knowledge to an extreme. My childhood was one of like complete chaos and confusion at home, but looked good on the outside. You know, everything's fine here. Nobody look any further. And so, you know, when I finally got to school, when I was 6 years old, I found this is where I could get something back for the work that I did. And I found school to be my home, found safety and stability in the process, and it was understandable, and you get rewarded. So I lived at school, and after school, I lived at work. I would take any graduate program, and I would just try to go farther and farther and farther in the profession that I chose. And I chose a profession where knowledge and how much knowledge I had and how I was able to utilize it was considered golden, and that's how you got promoted. And I can't tell you how exhausted I was. Well, you probably know. I was exhausted. I was so lonely and so very alone. And I believed what my father had told me all those years ago, that he actually preferred me over my mother because I was pretty young and thin. And so it was a complete obsession, a deep rut in my brain that I still have to this day, that to have love, I have to be thin. And I took this to just eating like a little trail mix a day. And I knew so much about, we all do, right? About nutrition. I was on Jenny Craig. I was on Weight Watchers. I was still purging. I was still binging. Laxatives, FinFin, liposuction, anything. Because if I got fat, I was completely unlovable. And then who was I? And so suicide was always close, ever, ever close, every single day. I mean, there were always the pills in the medicine cabinet that I could constantly just look at, and if it was that bad of a day and I felt that anxious, I could end it because it was intolerable. So this disease is incurable, which I had to learn over the past 15 years of being in 12-step, and especially in OA. Thank you, God, for the 12 steps. It's progressive, and it is and can be fatal, and especially for me. So I actually had to be absolutely devastated to believe that somebody else could actually help me. So I was on my knees. I was in inpatient treatment, and it actually kept me for 2 months. And I had been finally given that gift of 12 steps where people actually were gentle with me and understood what I needed. And this vision program, I've only been part for like a couple of months. But, oh, my God, the welcoming spirit of this program is just, it's amazing. It brings tears to my eyes because the greatness of your humanity and your acceptance. I'm finally shedding these dysfunctional behaviors, but I only get a reprieve on a daily basis of that secret eating, that blame, and that shame that sends me into that spiral. So, normal leaders don't understand this. You know, they don't understand, you know, what it is to live in the shame of the food. Thank you. And it's so vital to understand this and to have that experience to understand it. So thank you all. Thank you all for not letting me be alone. Peace and calm for you all today. The spirit of the program be with you. At that, I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxie. We have time for a minute and a half share, if anybody would like it.
Susie? Okay.
Somebody, Kay? Who is that?
Not Kay. No, Suji.
Okay, I heard two of you. I'll go with Sue G because I got your name clearly, Sue. Minute and a half, please.
I can do it.
Great, go ahead.
Kick me off if I don't. I'm so glad I got on today and came into that paragraph. The goose hung high for me for 2 years in OA, but with a different program. and different food plan and everything. But I really noticed was that...
Sue, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Oh, now I can. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'll turn it up. They were advertising on TV some pills that years and years ago I had tried, and they worked. But I didn't want to pay the price, so I returned the empty bottle with the other full bottle and got my money back. And boy, was I tempted. I thought, you know, I got this 5 pounds that I'm playing around with, and I could take those 5 pounds off and get another 5 off and be a little happier maybe. And I thought, what are you doing? Why are you thinking this way? And I'm so glad that I have a program and have a food plan that works, that all I had was that fleeting moment of wanting to try something different that I knew worked before. I probably would have lost too much. Okay, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, CG. Thanks to everybody who shared today and listened today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jordan L., would you please read A Vision for You?
Hello again, Jordan L., recovered in Colorado. This is page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and more to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.